number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yes, it was a busy day in NFL free agency, but where are the moves and how do we evaluate them? 800-777-2907. The Texans got their quarterback in Brock Osweiler. We've been chronically talking about that tonight. But how about the Jets? They pick up running back Matt Forte. He replaces Chris Ivory. Tampa Bay re-signed Doug Martin. I thought that was a little weird. Five-year deal, 27 years old. A couple of years ago, they didn't even know if Doug Martin had a future with the Buccaneers. He had 1,400 yards last year, but it wasn't like he was, you know. They were really questioning him. Now they get a now he gets a five-year deal. There's a purge going on in Cleveland. Alex Mack has left the center, and Travis Benjamin is gone. I don't know if the baseball guy, who's the baseball guy that took over the Browns front office?
The
Mets guy. I forgot his name. God, I wish I remembered it.
I'll find it.
So much for my stellar prep work on this. But Travis Benjamin goes to San Diego. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Travis Benjamin. He was promoting something. Remember that a couple months ago? Might have been when you were gone.
No, I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he had that talk about his time in Cleveland like it was already a done deal that he was leaving. Everything was past tense. Oh, yeah, look, I liked my time there. He was absolutely going to take off. Now, you know what? When you pair up with a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, I mean, Travis Benjamin had a good year with the litany of bad quarterback play. He should have a great year with Phillip Rivers.
Paul D. Podesta.
Paul D. Podesta. That's right. Hope that's working out for Cleveland.
The one thing we haven't even mentioned yet is Cleveland still has Johnny Manziel.
They still haven't gotten rid of him.
I mean, the report came out, maybe 3 weeks ago saying he was going to be cut instantly on this date.
They were tired of him already.
Right. Well, right. When you can try and get a seventh-round pick, any team will do it. They'll say one thing, and they'll do the exact opposite if they can add a draft pick, even if it's just a seventh-rounder.
Right now, they'll take a gift certificate for 5 free car washes.
Right, yes.
That's basically what they'll do. Like, oh, my God, 5 free car washes? 5 free car washes. Not 1, 5. We have to make this deal. Broncos defense losing Danny Trevathan to Chicago. You like that there, Bears fan?
I do. The Bears needed it. I'm kind of sick of Shea McClellan starting.
I give you credit. You jumped on that early, very, very early in our free agency talk. You said Danny Trevathan.
He was a must sign, and then they added the move I really like. They added Bobby Massey from the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
He's going to play right tackle, and that kicks Kyle Long back to offensive guard, where he's one of the best guards in football, so that definitely upgrades the offensive line.
And Malik Jackson goes to Jacksonville. That deal's complete.
I really like what the Jaguars have done.
Yeah,
they maybe spent a lot of money, but they had $90 million to spend.
They had $90 million to spend, and listen, I'm going to repeat something that you and I have been talking about all season. I am hoping, just because I'm a football fan, I am hoping, and now with Brock Osweiler, that this becomes the premier quarterback division in the NFL.
Yeah.
In a couple of years, this is, you know, Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Andrew Luck, Brock Osweiler. This could be the division of young, good quarterbacks. Now, granted, guys have to step up, right? I mean, you know, Mariota's got to fulfill that promise. Osweiler's got to fulfill that promise. I think Bortles is really heading in the right direction. He seems to be getting better every single year, and we know Andrew Luck has already got legendary status attached to them. So there is some work that's got to be done, but I really look forward to the future of this division. I think he'd be quarterback well down the line. Here's Jacksonville, and I think one of our earlier callers brought this up. Yeah, Dante Fowler coming back is like getting a free draft pick
this
coming season.
If they can somehow manage to get Jalen Ramsey, that will give them a very good secondary. When I didn't even see they had picked up Tayshaun Gibson until I got into work tonight. So that was another very good move on their part. And they added Chris Ivory. Yeah, they probably paid too much for a running back.
Probably.
But he adds that thumper to T.J. Yeldon and Denard Robinson that – you know, he did lead the AFC in rushing last year.
And they've got some good young receivers.
Yes, I love their receivers.
Really good receivers. I saw Jacksonville twice because they played the Titans. So I'm not going to pretend that I've been watching them every week or whatever. But I saw them twice when they played the Titans, and there's so much to like. It just needs to come together.
Yes.
And this is where I'm going to give my props to the ownership group with Jacksonville. They're patient with Gus Bradley.
Yes.
Whether or not Gus Bradley works out in the long term, fine. I don't know if he's fired at the end of the year. But they didn't get the knee-jerk reaction that we see across the NFL all the time.
They're not like
in Tampa
Browns
Bay, where yes. Tampa Bay flipped out because Lovie Smith, after year two, didn't have him in the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Jacksonville is patient with Gus Bradley. They're telling him, and he's telling them, we're building this. We've got young talent. We've got a young quarterback. We just don't want to throw a new coaching staff at him. We believe in you. You've got it. You're smart defensively. There's some good defensive players that you're going to be getting. Offensively, we're turning the corner. This is a team that could be heading in the right direction. We've got money to spend. We're trying to be wise with it, picking up players. There's a lot to like about Jacksonville. I just hope that we're not talking in November about another team with four wins, because I'd like to see them turn that corner.
Although one thing Jacksonville did do today that takes me back to a few drafts ago, they signed the punter from, I believe it was Carolina. They signed that punter today to a 4-year deal, replacing the punter they selected in the third round. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Gosh.
The punters.
Picked before Russell Wilson.
Why would you draft punters? I don't understand why you draft punters.
You never draft a punter.
All you have to do when you have an opening is just tell everybody you have an opening.
Right.
They'll come. And then you just try them out and then pick one.
Right. Bring 40 in, see who kicks the best.
You don't need to draft a punter, for crying out loud.
Jeez. Just make it the seventh round.
And look, like a kicker, all right, you know, every now and then a Sebastian Janikowski comes along and you know, but for the love of Pete, there are so many guys that need work, that need jobs, that you just go, hey, guess what? We need a punter. Have them start lining up at 8 a.m. And you'll have 100 people there.
Yeah, and even kickers, the Bears found Robbie Gould sitting on the street.
Sure.
And he's one of the best kickers of all time.
It's not the most difficult thing to do if you've done it before. You just got to be good at it, right? It's like kick the ball through that like you did in college all those years. And sure, every kicker that ever played in college is like, yeah, why not? I'll just go to tryouts. Why not? Get my agent, my brother-in-law, to give him a call and I'll head on over. It's not that hard.
The fact that they took a punter before Russell Wilson.
Yeah, really. I mean, even if you don't think you need Russell Wilson, right, just grab him anyway. And just be like, all right, I don't know what to do with this kid. But he's better than the punter.
That's not even talking about the other 150 guys that were drafted after him.
God. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that city had a petition going around to sign Tim Tebow. Oh, remember that?
Yes.
Bring Tebow. We got to have Tebow. No. Blake Bortles will be fine. Trust me.
If I saw
you
more,
actually want somebody who can, I don't know, play the position.
If I saw any more Tebow jokes today.
Oh, God. Denver?
Yes.
Denver making the phone call?
Oh, my gosh.
And see John Elway now. Hey, Tim, sorry. I ripped you in the media and all that stuff.
I saw guys like Eric Edholm and Rand Getlin and these writers all just be like, just instantly, as soon as it happened, be like, no, we're not even discussing Tebow.
It's Tebow.
Not even happening. Just
somebody,
stop.
There's a certain quarterback that won a playoff game that needs a job. Yep. Wink, wink. I still blame Dick LeBeau for that one.
Or all the Peyton coming out of retirement already tweets.
I'm really sorry. I told y'all I was going to retire, but John called me and said, we need a quarterback. So I was fishing earlier. Nobody was taking my call, but John took my call, and I'm back. I'm back.
And there were some people saying, because Elway mentioned that Manning's still working out during the press conference. So they're like, oh, he's ready to go. Let's get him. Like, come on.
And, I'm going to change my number to 45 when I come back, because, that seems to be the thing to do. Love him. Peyton. Can you imagine Peyton sitting with his wife at home by himself going, God, Jesus. Ugh. Just growling like, yeah. thought they were going to sign Brock Osweiler. I thought I had to leave. I believe completely that Manning fished and nobody bit on the line. And then he said, that's it. I got to go. Somebody's going to have to convince me otherwise, but I believe he was like, nope, just get some feelers out there. Just some confidential feelers. Nothing big. Don't make it obvious. Just throw some stuff out. See if anybody's interested. I don't think anybody bit. And I think he said, all right, then that's it. Now the Broncos are like, Peyton. Yeah, about that whole ceremony. Well, how about one more year? Gosh, Broncos. Speaking of which, coming up next, who had the biggest burn? Coming up next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Chris Swick is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Yahoo Sports, a big league stew. We do this every week at this, not this time, but at least on this night. Every week we're going over a division in Major League Baseball to the start of the regular season. And this one, Adam's Chicago White Sox are in the AL Central, and we're previewing the AL Central. So look forward to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chris does a good job.
Yeah, I really like Chris and
his analysis. So the division has the world champion Kansas City Royals, an up-and-coming Cleveland Indians team, a very old Detroit Tigers team, a very solid pitching rotation with the Chicago White Sox. So a lot to analyze coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, ready for this game show moment on this show?
Yes, I am.
This is called Who Had the Bigger Burn. I'm going to give you three people that burned somebody else, and we're going to decide which one had the bigger burn. All right, let's start with John Elway, who had some comments about basically Brock Osweiler and the Denver Broncos organization, as Osweiler has left to take a more lucrative deal with the Houston Texans. Here is what John Elway said to Lindsey Jones, our good friend from USA Today. Quote, "We've stayed true to our philosophy of building a team with players who want to be Denver Broncos and want to be here. That's been a successful approach for us. While we did offer a competitive and fair long-term contract to Brock, we ultimately had to remain disciplined while continuing to assemble a roster that can compete for championships." All right, that's A. All right, you ready for B?
Yes.
This is Chris Cooley, former Washington Redskin, on Robert Griffin III. Quote, "The offensive line did not like Robert Griffin. A lot of receivers did not like Robert Griffin. The offensive line had a problem with Robert because they were considered for a year and a half or 2 years a terrible offensive line that couldn't protect a quarterback. A lot of that isn't true. A lot of that was Robert. A lot of the sacks were just put on Robert. Want to believe it or not, they were okay. Football-wise, they were. It was Robert. Receivers didn't like playing with Robert because they didn't get the ball. It was never consistent. Other than a couple in 2002, they struggled with that, so they didn't like Robert." That's B. Here is the next one. Forgive me because I'm going to call it up. Here's Reggie Miller talking about the New York Knicks and Phil Jackson. He was asked by the New York Post whether the glass is half empty or full based on the Knicks, his analysis of the Knicks. Reggie Miller said, quote, "I would say it's half empty. I wanted to go half full because of Porzingis, but where do they go after this? Their coaching situation is in a state of flux. You have a superstar, Carmelo Anthony, who is frustrated. Where do they want to go?" Miller continued, "What does Phil want to do? What does owner James Dolan want to do going forward with this? How do we want to play? Are we going to continue with this triangle crap, or are we going to play traditional free-flowing style like the Warriors play? I love the triangle. If I had Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Scottie Pippen, I'd play the triangle all day. But if I've got Carmelo and Porzingis, no, I do not like the triangle." That's C. Who had the bigger burn, Cooley, Miller, or John Elway?
I feel like with Chris Cooley, this was already known. Like, everybody knew nobody liked RG3. They were keeping him around for money reasons. So I would put that number three. I would put Elway two, just because I don't know how much I really buy into the whole we want to We want guys who want to stay here, because any guy on that roster, if he's offered more money, is most likely gone. Those guys aren't wanting to be Denver Broncos. They're wanting to be paid the best by the Denver Broncos, if that's the team. So I would say Reggie Miller.
All right, I say Reggie Miller too, and here's why. Reggie Miller was the only one of the three that actually used a sort of insulting phrase directed at the person. Calling it triangle crap is a direct attack on Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
The other ones were subtle, and Chris Cooley is telling what many people believe to be the truth anyway.
Right.
Right? I mean, and Cooley isn't saying Robert Griffin III is an idiot, or he's a loser, or he's a moron, or anything like that. He's basically saying, look, the offensive line was not as bad as people thought it was. Robert takes a lot of sacks. He shouldn't have taken a lot of sacks. The offensive line didn't get along with their quarterback because he took a lot of sacks and made them look bad. Receivers didn't get the ball. They didn't like him either. That is something kind of people knew around the organization. That's why there was such a disconnect between the team and Robert Griffin III. Elway's is interesting, and here's why. I think, I got to be honest with you, I love John Elway, but I think this is petty.
Yeah,
I think this is really petty, and I think this is pandering to people who are hurt, who are hurt by Brock Osweiler taking more money to be in Houston. This goes to the, hey, why wouldn't you want to play for my favorite team? Isn't it your favorite team, too, that fans tend to have? Brock Osweiler was drafted in 2012. Now, I know people will say he got the best education you could have sitting behind Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning never gave him the time of day in terms of playing time. He never, ever got to play. And guys, when they get into the league, want to play. Brock Osweiler took all of that in stride, mainly because he had to. But do not start throwing out this whole idea that he did not want to be a Denver Bronco. He was a good Denver Bronco. While you let Peyton Manning be Peyton Manning, he was the backup for a legend that did not get experience under center. Brock Osweiler played the backup role perfectly. And Elway knows this is a business. And this is not about brand loyalty. He doesn't owe the Broncos anything. He fulfilled his obligation to the team. He played as good as he could when he was called upon, and then you went back to Manning, and he rode the bench for all the way through to a championship. That's fine. Drew Bledsoe didn't owe the Patriots anything when Tom Brady won his Super Bowl. You know, it's just like, oh, there's a changing of the guard. Osweiler was like, you know what? Fine. I don't really like it, but Manning's the quarterback, and then I'll see where I'm going from here. It was a more money deal. God bless. But Reggie Miller is, look, Phil Jackson and the triangle go hand in hand, right? That's kind of Phil Jackson's thing. He loves it. He won championships with it. When Phil Jackson got hired with the Knicks, what was the first thing he said in the press conferences? Yeah, the triangle. Yeah,
right.
It comes with the territory. With me, this is what I like. This is what I like. All right. So when Reggie Miller says, when are we going to, continue this triangle crap? That's a direct shot at Phil Jackson. That's his identity. So I'm with you. I'm going with A.
Yeah. I just feel
I'm going with that as the number one.
Burn. Right. I feel like with Elway, like if Von Miller next year, who's franchised, if he plays under the franchise tag, they come back and he's a free agent. And they offer him $80 million when whoever comes in and offers him $110 million. He's taking that money. It's not because he wants to be a Denver Bronco. He wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL. And if the Broncos don't do that, he's gone. And then Elway can't come out and be like, oh, well, we just want guys that want to be Broncos. Because there's nobody on that team that wants to be a Bronco. They want to be paid like they should be.
And by the way, John Elway made it a priority to sign Brock Osweiler. He just lost.
Yes.
He just lost. That's it. He lost. He lost him. He lost the fight for Brock Osweiler. This has a tinge of sour grapes to it.
Yes.
This has a tinge of Bronco fans, we didn't really lose out to another team. You know, he just didn't want to be here. We don't want guys who don't want to be here. Believe me, if you offered enough money to Brock Osweiler, he would be more than happy to be a Denver Bronco. But there were, you know, money is the key here. And also, I think he was bothered by the fact that he lost his job when he didn't play all that bad against San Diego. Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll talk baseball next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Welcome back, Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, we've been doing this every single week, previewing a division in Major League Baseball. We're going to focus now on a wide-open division. You wouldn't think so with the defending World Series champion Kansas City Royals in it, but the American League Central's got a lot of good teams and a lot of promise. Chris Swick joins us from Yahoo Sports Big League Stew to help us break down this division. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to breaking down the AL Central.
All right, let's start with the champs, the Kansas City Royals. And there's a lot of questions I could ask you, but I want to get your thoughts on Ian Kennedy. Not very good numbers in San Diego. Are the Royals seeing something in him with a better defense behind him, Kauffman Stadium when he pitches at home? Is there a silver lining to this deal that they're looking for out of Kennedy?
Yeah, I think they're looking for a couple things. So as you alluded to, Kennedy wasn't great last season. But there was somewhat of an odd issue in San Diego. It's a park that's typically played really friendly to hitters. And for whatever reason last year, it became super friendly to home runs. You know, that's been, when Kennedy has struggled, that's been a big issue for him because he's not a guy who relies on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He is a guy who can mix in some off-speed stuff, doesn't throw very hard. And when he's not locating that fastball or when he misses, it's going to get crushed. So I think, you know, that's part of it. I also think this team has had success the last couple of years, you know, picking up scrap heap guys and turning them into useful parts. You know, mostly I'm thinking of Edison Volquez, who came over from the Pirates after having a pretty good season, but I think people were worried that he wouldn't be able to replicate it. He obviously did. And then Chris Young has just been fantastic since joining them. And, you know, both of those guys were at points in their career pretty much afterthoughts. So I think that's part of it, too. Now, that said, I have some concerns. I mean, that's a big deal to give Ian Kennedy, and you have to forfeit the draft pick.
Is this team, is the blueprint still the same? Play small ball, get those runs across, and let that bullpen shut you down?
I think it is, yeah. And you know, the other big thing that they do really well is they play great defense. And with all these guys coming back, I just feel like that's got to be the goal. And, you know, they kept everything together for a reason, I feel like. You're not going to see any drastic changes from last year.
Chicago White Sox. We talk about teams that have a rotation, that have a good 1-2 punch. How about the White Sox, a 1-2-3 punch, Sale, Quintana, and Rodon? How good is that part of their rotation?
I think you could put those three up against probably almost any in the majors, and maybe that's a surprise to some. You know, I think that the problem here is that Quintana, he just continues to be underrated every season. And I think a function of that, at least among more casual fans, is his win totals. It seems like the guy every year leads the league in blown decisions or no decisions. It just, he goes out there, he pitches well, often, you know, is good for a quality start. And then for whatever reason, the White Sox either blow the game or they don't score enough runs to get him a win. So I feel like he continues to go underrated. Rodon, I think people know the pedigree. He was the third overall pick in the 2014 draft. And there were some struggles definitely early on as far as command. He has some trouble sometimes throwing strikes with the fastball. But that improved as the season went on. And he kind of turned on a switch over his last couple starts. And it seemed like this was a guy who finally got it. And, you know, the other promising thing is the White Sox have preached with him learning to throw a changeup, and that was something he really started to do a lot more in the second half. So I just feel like, you know, the guy we saw in the second half could be the guy that we see going forward. And if that's the case, you know, he and Sale could be a really tremendous 1-2 punch, and they both throw from the left side. So I don't know that you're going to find many other rotations that can feature that at the top.
This seems like a really solid lineup for the White Sox. To what degree does Todd Frazier make it better?
Yeah, Todd Frazier was easily their biggest add of the offseason. I think there are reasons to be concerned, particularly with his second halves. It wasn't just last season. It was the prior year. He's gotten off to these nice starts, and he's faded a little bit over the second half. You know, that being said, the options they had at third base were below replacement level. I mean, we're talking, I don't know, guys who you probably don't even want starting in AAA. So bringing in a guy like Frazier, who is definitely above average, even if he goes through another slump, I just think that's a major upgrade, probably one of the best moves of the offseason.
Chris Swick joins us, Yahoo Sports, Big League Stu, as we go over the American League Central and our Major League Baseball previews, the spring training. All right, you got to help me with Detroit here, because health is important for everybody, no question about it. But with the Tigers, I see a team that's very old. So in that regard, how important is health going to be to the Tigers' success?
Yeah, it's going to be crucial, and I agree with you. I think, you know, they've reached a point where their core is really on the verge of one final run, and that could only last this year. And I think, you know, the owner, Mike Ilitch, realizes that. That's why he's willing to spend money in this team, despite the fact that they were pretty awful last season. But we saw, you know, Jordan Zimmermann, Justin Upton, those are pretty elite adds. As far as age and injuries, it's a big-time concern. Victor Martinez was definitely not himself last year. I think we saw Justin Verlander have a little bit of a bounce back, but we've also seen some of the wear and tear on him in seasons prior. And, you know, we know the fastball isn't as hard, and he's had to rely on some other stuff. And we also know that he's had his fair share of injuries in the past, and those could crop up. And I hate to say it, but the same thing's kind of happening with Miguel Cabrera. You know, he rarely goes on the DL, and he's played through a lot of injuries, but the last couple seasons he's had these nagging things that have kind of slowed him down. And, you know, to say that for him is tough, because he'll still bat 320. But you just start to worry about that. He's now 32 years old, and those guys typically don't get healthier as they age. So those three are definitely big concerns for me. And then Anibal Sanchez in the rotation, he's coming off an injury-riddled season, and that rotation gets thin really fast. So losing anyone in the rotation is going to be a big problem.
The Cleveland Indians, are they the chic pick that everyone seems to think they are?
Well, you read my mind a little bit.
Okay.
This is a team I really enjoy, at least on paper. I think everyone is well aware of that rotation and what they're capable of. You know, the thing that clicks for me a little bit going back to last season was the team's defense. It was pretty atrocious in the first half, and they were able to improve quite a bit by just calling up shortstop Francisco Lindor and their third baseman Giovanni Urshela. Now, Urshela's probably not going to start now that they've signed Juan Uribe, but if he's on the team and makes the team, he could be a pretty solid defensive replacement. Lindor is fantastic defensively, and that's going to make a difference, you know, not just overall with the team defense, but, you know, sometimes I think that gets overlooked with pitching as well. You know, we saw Corey Kluber with a bit of an inflated ERA, despite the fact that his strikeout and walk rates were identical to the prior season. I think, you know, you can expect him to perform better. You can expect Carlos Carrasco to perform a lot better. Just overall, having Lindor up for the full season is somewhat of the key for me. And, you know, I still have a lot of faith in this team's offense, I think.
Minnesota Twins, they were a 500 team last season, above 500 last season, but they weren't good in the second half of the season. Is that a little bit of a misnomer, how, because they went off to that good start last year?
Yeah, the Twins confuse me quite a bit, because the team is young. The farm system isn't what it was, but that's because they experienced a lot of promotions last season. Particularly, I'm talking about Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton. Pitcher Jose Berrios is on the way. So part of me wants to sit here and say, well, if those guys improve, you could see a contender here. But at the same time, I just kind of look at what they did last year, and a lot of things to me scream that they overachieved. And they were in somewhat of a position where this offseason, you know, they could have talked themselves into making a splash or two and really gone for it. And they really didn't add much. I mean, their biggest add was Byung-ho Park, the Korean first baseman, and then John Ryan Murphy, who's going to be a backup catcher for them. So they really confused me this offseason.
Chris Swick, Yahoo Sports, Big League Stu on the American League Central. Talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you so much.
Sounds great. Love it.
All right, coming up, we'll talk a little baseball, get Adam's perspective on the AL Central, and put the finishing touches on this hour on NFL free agency. 800-777-2907. If you want to get in the conversation, you can also leave us a note on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, and on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, phone lines open for NFL free agency chatter, especially the Brock Osweiler spurning those Denver Broncos and heading to Houston. I do believe that there is something to the idea that he was ticked off. Look, going to Peyton Manning is not a crime. But if I'm Brock Osweiler, he didn't play all that bad against San Diego, lost his job. Lost his job because a receiver couldn't catch the ball. It bounced and led to a turnover. His offensive line didn't block. It led to a strip sack. Otherwise, he threw some pretty good balls that day. The offense just didn't move. Manning comes in. They win the game. Manning takes over. Doesn't excel at the position, and they win the Super Bowl. Yeah, if I'm Osweiler, I'd probably have a little bitter feeling too. But in the end, it was never Brock Osweiler's team. Let's make that clear. Never Brock Osweiler's team. Rick Riley can say Brock owes all he wants, but it was never going to be his team. So, all right. Our thanks to Chris Swick. He joins us every week to break down a baseball division. And this one is near and dear to Adam's heart because the Chicago White Sox are in it. I mentioned the 1-2-3 punch of their rotation. Do you like where they're heading?
Yeah, I do. I really like where they're heading, especially in the rotation. They're young. They're cheap. I mean, next year, they're going to add Carson Fulmer from Vanderbilt. He'll probably be up sometime this year if it'll be in the bullpen or the rotation. But they'll add him to the rotation next year. Next year, their whole rotation is going to cost somewhere around $20 million. I bet you there's 15 starters in baseball right now that make more than,
than
$20 million.
That's right.
So, yeah, I definitely like where they're at there. And the moves they made this year, I really like Todd Frazier.
I like Todd Frazier, too. That lineup is loaded. I mean, it's got some depth. Yes. It's got some punch to it. It's a good lineup.
They just added Austin Jackson, which I like, and they did all this for cheap. They didn't give up a ton for Todd Frazier. They brought in Brett Lowry for basically nothing prospect-wise, and he has upside. He struggled last year, but he has upside. I think he's still just 26. So, yeah, I really like what they've done, and they have a young core. That's what I like about it. They're not the old White Sox that were, you know, all the guys were 30, 31, 32, and they just had to keep finding new people or signing new people. They have a young core to build around, and they are doing it.
This division is rather interesting because, as I said earlier, you wouldn't think it would be wide open given, hey, look, Kansas City won the division by double digits last year, and Kansas City remains relatively intact. I mean, a few, but relatively intact. But yet there is a feeling like this division is a little bit more open. If Detroit stays healthy and everybody does what they're supposed to do, if the White Sox have this rotation and a good solid lineup, I mentioned with Chris, Cleveland seems to be the chic pick. I mean, I wonder if there's some reality to the Indians, or does it? You know how guys are when they're picking. Like, I don't want to pick Kansas City. Everybody picks Kansas City. I like this team, and sort of throwing a different angle, but. You know, the Indians have become, you know, hey, look, what? Don't forget about them. Minnesota,
Minnesota's
the Twins had
a few years away.
They're a few years away. They're young, and they didn't get better. Their pitching didn't get better.
No, it's still bad.
It's still bad. So they didn't get better. And look, strong starts are, I don't take that away. But after, like, the first month, I mean, they had a losing record. Yeah. I mean, they came right back to earth, so... Finishing second in the division, but look at the way they closed out the season. It wasn't exactly stellar. But this is a little bit more wide open than I would think, given the success of the Kansas City Royals over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I absolutely hate the Royals rotation. I mean, Yordano Ventura is their best pitcher, but he's a wild card. I mean, you never know what he could throw at people's head and be suspended for 10 games. You don't know. He's still just a young, dumb kid who shoots his mouth off and yells at other guys and stuff like that. I love their offense and their bullpen, obviously. So they're going to be in, you know, a ton of games. But and the Indians, I compare the Indians to the Mets. They have a great rotation, but the offense, you just don't know what they'll actually bring. There's no Francisco Lindor is their best offensive player in my mind. Maybe Jason Kipnis. But other than that, I mean, you're not like, wow, this guy, you know, they don't have a Lorenzo Cain or Alex Gordon or Jose Abreu. They don't have those guys. And Detroit, just scares me because they just, you know, they're going to be injured at some point.
Exactly. The health for the Tigers is the key to them. And it's because, look, health is important everywhere. But this is an old team. Yeah, this is a team that they have to win now. Everybody's in their 30s.
Yeah, Detroit's health is the key to the whole division. If Detroit played 162 games fully healthy, they probably do win the division. But them playing 162 healthy games is like a 0.01% chance,
yeah,
because Victor Martinez is a walking injury. Miguel Cabrera, while he plays a lot of games, he's playing a lot of games hurt. He's playing on a bad foot. He's had elbow problems. He's had all these problems, but he's playing through it, and he's still maybe the best just pure hitter in the game by far. But Verlander, all of a sudden, he went from throwing 99 to 91, and that's scary as a starting pitcher.
And I don't know. I think, you know, Jordan Zimmerman for David Price, that's not an upgrade.
No, it's not an upgrade.
So that's a downgrade. And
they still paid $20+ million right, a year for
exactly.
him. And they brought in Justin Upton, who, very nice player. I was hoping the White Sox would be in that hunt, and they were. But he just fits in. You know, he's their young guy. When you look at this team, he's their young guy.
Ian Kennedy for the Royals is money wise was ridiculous,
yeah.
but at the same time, if you're gambling that what happened at Petco happened to other guys, and that seems to be the rub, that seems to be the thing. Like, hey, look, Petco became a home run park for a while, and that's where you get the skewed numbers. It did happen to James Shields. It's happened to Ian Kennedy. But it's still, that's a gamble though,
and he's coming to the AL.
Yeah,
from the NL.
He's got good defense. His numbers are going to go down because the defense is going to account for some balls. But I don't know. You're right about the rotation for the Royals. Tony D, we'll talk free agency next.